This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is time for the Israel Report, and this evening we have Anthony Reich. Anthony, welcome. So lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you, Nikki. Tzoraim Tovim. Nice to chat in the afternoon. And I wanted to start today on the last day of 2025 with a somewhat amusing story, but nevertheless one that indicates how Middle East politics works. And yesterday it was announced that Lebanon and Egypt have signed a memorandum of understanding in Beirut for a major natural gas deal, which will involve Lebanon purchasing gas from Egypt. And the way that this has been termed is that they will purchase gas from Egypt when it becomes available, in inverted commas. That's exactly the way it was termed. Now, we all know that Egypt doesn't actually have any access to natural gas. And they certainly don't have a stock of natural gas that they could potentially send to sell to Lebanon. But ironically, and of course, completely unconnected to the story, well, maybe not, is the fact that Israel and Egypt recently finalized a major multi-billion dollar natural gas deal, which will involve Israel selling something like $35 billion of natural gas from Israel's Leviathan field, which will be supplied to Egypt. And I suppose that when Egypt gets their hands on this gas, that might well be the moment that it becomes available in order to supply to Lebanon. So if we kind of take out all the intervening and all the indirect politics that's going on, what this effectively means is that in not too distant future, it seems as if the Lebanon and Lebanese people will be turning on their lights, using Israeli gas via Egypt that will be used to power their power stations and generate electricity there. So this is a classic... This is a classic Middle Eastern story, which says Lebanon and Israel, of course, will not talk to each other because they're at war with each other and because there are no diplomatic relations. However, when it comes to needing natural gas from Israel, the Lebanese will somehow find a way to do it.
Find a way.
Right?
Yes. The natural gas is good enough. It's mm-hmm. the natural gas. But, well, that is amazing, Anthony. And I, as you say, you know, you can shake your head and that is what comes out of the Middle East politics. I mean, does it ever end?
Well, not for now anyway. But to be fair, I mean, with the current state of things as they are, I don't see it being too far to imagine that Israel and Lebanon may well become diplomatic partners in the not too distant future. We've got this little unfortunate thing in the middle called Hezbollah, who are still exerting control to some degree over the southern Lebanon, of course, being fueled by Iran, who seem to be having their own problems right now. But the Iranians somehow seem to nonetheless be able to be supporting the groups that they like to support, the factions that they support around in order to attack Israel. And they are fueling this conflict between Israel and Lebanon. But I feel instinctively that as we move into the new year, that we may have some renewed hope that that will be removed and that Israelis will one fine day in the not too distant future be able to have holidays in Beirut.
Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? Please,
it
God,
would.
we can only wait. But and besides this, starting off with this, Anthony, what else is happening, or rather isn't happening? I mean, what news with Trump and Netanyahu, and of course Iran and Qatar, and maybe there are a whole lot of other things you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, of course the Trump-Netanyahu meeting in the background continues to generate news items, but I think really the main headlines have been made. The fact that it seems as if though Netanyahu has come away from Mar-a-Lago with support from Trump with regard to a potential attack on Iran. We don't know when that will be. We don't know what form that will take. We don't know what the trigger points will be. But it seems as if though Trump and Netanyahu were relatively together and relatively well coordinated in terms of a possible attack on Iran under certain circumstances. And those circumstances don't seem to be too far off. So my expectation is that 2026 will bring further conflict between Israel and Iran. We are, of course, watching very carefully and very, interested way to see what will be happening with the protests that are going on in Iran right now. Some people are claiming that Israel is behind these protests, fueling the protests, supporting them, that the Mossad might well be instigating in Iran. It wouldn't surprise me at all to find that that is true, if it is indeed true. Because, of course, Israel has every interest in seeing the end of the Ayatollah regime. And if this internal protest that's taking place in Iran right now, supposedly fueled by the weakness in the economy, and it was quite interesting that an Iranian member of parliament came out saying, it's all about Netanyahu. That's why the Iranian currency has weakened so much. It has nothing to do with the Iranian economy. It's not based on anything in particular. If Iran, if Netanyahu and Trump say that they would like to have coffee together, it has an effect of weakening the Iranian rial. And there's nothing economic in Iran to support any reason why the rial should be weakened. So I'm not quite sure whether she's trying to say that therefore the Iranian economy is sound or not. It seems to me that if such trivial facts are influencing the currency, then there is not much economy to strengthen indeed that.
Certainly giving Netanyahu a lot of power.
It gives him a lot of power, and I think it also sort of distracts from the real reason why things are weak in Iran. But here's the thing that I thought would be great to end 2025 with, given the two and a bit years of war that we've experienced in Israel, and of course the impact that it's had on the Gaza envelope area, because let's not forget that the October the 7th attack that took place was really focused on the Gaza envelope and the kibbutzim and the moshavim that are located in that area, and of course the Nova Music Festival, which was also taking place there. Now, the latest statistics have shown that approximately 65,000 residents live in the Gaza envelope area today at this time. And that compares with the 6th of October, 2023, 62,000 people. So what the statistics are showing is that today there are 3,000 more people living in the Gaza envelope area than on the day before the war. And this is, of course, in spite of the fact that so many people from that region were killed in the war. Many of them were, of course, kidnapped to Gaza. We've managed to reclaim most of those who have been brought back from Gaza. Many people were so spooked and frightened by the events of October the 7th that they moved away from the Gaza envelope area, some of them permanently. However, the spirit of the Israeli people was never to be broken in spite of what happened on October the 7th and beyond that. And that now there are 3,000 more people living there than before, which means that people who didn't live there before the war have decided to pick themselves up and to go and live there, in spite of everything that happened, that has happened over the last 2.5 years. And this is really a show of amazing strength and character, which says, we will not be afraid, we will not be frightened off, we will not be intimidated. And those people who didn't live there before have said, we want to go there and we want to show the fact that even though we were not residents before the war took place, we would like to reinforce that area. So as I say, today, 65,000 people living in that area. And let's not forget that many of the kibbutzim and the moshavim still haven't been rebuilt. There's still people living in temporary accommodation. People have moved there in spite of all of the inconveniences, in spite of everything that might potentially frighten people off. I think this is an amazing show of Israeli spirit, and I think it's an incredible way to end 2025 on a very positive note, saying, we have not been afraid. We've stood up. We've had our losses. We've made our mistakes. And we are back. And 2026 will be the year for us to really grow that area. So I think that that's a really great message to send at the end of this year. And alongside that is, of course, the great news that the new iron beam system, which has been in development for some time to protect Israel, has now officially been launched, has been made operational, is being deployed around Israel. And this iron beam system was originally touted as a potential replacement for the Iron Dome. But I think at least for now that it'll probably sit alongside the Iron Dome rather than replacing it. Mm-hmm. And perhaps over time, the Iron Dome will be replaced. But Iron Beam is incredible technology. It's a laser system. It is much cheaper to operate than the Iron Dome system. It also plugs some of those weaknesses that Iron Dome had in terms of being able to attack short-range mortars, defend against rocket-propelled grenades that were often lobbed over the border at short range in order to avoid the protective belt, the protective umbrella that Iron Dome had offered Israel, because those terrorists knew that those missiles could not be intercepted by Iron Dome. And of course, the new tool of warfare across the world, drones. Iron Beam is apparently going to be an incredible system and has already been used in order to intercept drones trying to infiltrate Israeli airspace quite successfully. So this is also great news to move forward into the new year. And one last thing which I think is going to certainly occupy us during 2026 is the whole issue of an investigation into exactly what happened on October the 7th and what happened in the war beyond that. This really demands a state commission of inquiry, which is the highest body that could be potentially appointed to investigate things like this. For example, the Yom Kippur War in 1973 resulted in a state commission of inquiry to investigate how it was that Israel was found to be so unprepared ahead of the war. And we feel the same, that we were sort of unprepared for the attack that took place on October the 7th, and with the resulting number of casualties and the resulting 2 and a bit years of war that we've experienced since then, it does warrant a state commission of inquiry in order to be as independent as possible and in order to really get to the bottom of what happened. Now, the government have decided that they would prefer to appoint a government committee to investigate the events of October the 7th and beyond. President Herzog, interestingly, has decided to weigh in on this. And of course, the Israeli president is generally expected to be politically neutral and not to necessarily weigh in on issues that are considered to be politically motivated one way or the other. But on this occasion, he's decided that he should weigh in, and he's made a statement which says that he feels that the committee that the government has appointed could potentially significantly harm any quest to find out the truth about what happened on October the 7th. So he has come out in the same vein as many citizens of Israel have come out saying, we feel that it requires an independent investigation, which is headed by a judge rather than headed by some sort of a government official. Of course, the government has said, well, they don't really trust the judiciary right now because they're at loggerheads, and the judiciary may well have reasons to come out against the government. But I think that we are certainly going to see more about the story in 2026, and we head into an election year in Israel in 2026. So we're already expecting in the next short while to start heading into elections and to understand. So there's a lot that we have waiting for us in 2026. All that remains is for me to wish you and all the listeners happy 2026. We hope that it'll be a much, much happier and more successful year for all of us. And we look forward to tracking and what happens during that time.
Baruch Hashem, thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much for that report. So much to ponder over. We really do appreciate it. And all the very best for 2026. Thank you for everything that you contribute to the radio station.
This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.